Our theme this week or this year has been being steadfast, being immovable, not being shaken by so many things that we see around us. I don't know if you're like me, but I was watching the news earlier this week and I saw this chaos that was erupting in Chicago. Just incredible what was going on. Now, as I ponder what I'm supposed to do to respond to that kind of evil, the first thing that occurs to me is I don't want to have anything to do with it. I'm not going to Chicago so I can riot with all of those folks that are running amok in the streets of Chicago. And I think that's probably our first reaction. I know when my mom was still alive, she would have told me, don't you go down there for any reason. You don't belong there. And that's good advice. But I think, how am I going to respond to all of the evil that's around me? Evil exists. And King David, when he wrote Psalms 46, knew that evil existed. I think the first thing that we think about when we see evil is we just hate it. I think most people, not just Christians, I think most people have an aversion to evil. And especially when it's an egregious evil. I have read about the Nazi death camps and what befell the American soldiers who went into those death camps to rescue those people. And it's shocking. Everybody comes away from that thinking, this should not happen. And do you know when the Nazis, during the war, went to Japan to see what medical experiments they were running in Japan, the Nazi doctor, Dr. Mengele, threw up when he saw what they were doing in Japan. This is not to bash Japanese. It's not to bash Germans. It's to make the point. Everybody recoils from evil. We love God. We love people. Now, we may not have a relationship with God, but we know that people shouldn't be treated that way. Even people that don't have a relationship with God. Genuine love for God prompts us to abhor that which destroys the objects of our love. Psalms 97, verse 10, David said, O ye that love Jehovah, hate evil. He preserves the soul of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. In Romans 12 at verse 9, he begins by saying, let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be genuine, be real. And then the next sentence is abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Hold close that which is good. When you find good in this world, uphold it. Christians will never defend evil people. I'm like you. I was shocked when I heard people actually defending the young person who had killed six Christians in Nashville. As if they had the right to make a political statement and they had to be defended for what they had done. I hate evil. I think everybody in this assembly hates evil. I think everybody that you talk to, well, almost everybody that you talk to, hates evil. And I know that I grieve. Maybe that's the second response. I hate evil. And I grieve when I see it. I grieve when I see innocent people hurt. And you know, I think I also grieve when I see what people are doing to themselves. Ted began a discussion of Romans, the first chapter. And you know, there's the continual statement in Romans, the end of Romans 1, God gave them up. I know that it grieved God to give people up, to watch them just hurt themselves, to do things that are just beyond imagining. Psalms 119 at verse 136. This is the longest psalm, by the way. And we'll just look at verse 136, but it says the same thing in Psalms 119 at verse 53 and again at verse 158. He says, rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your laws. I cried night and day because people are wicked. Ezekiel 9 at verse 4, the Lord said to the angels, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over the abominations that are done within it. When we see evil, it makes us cry. Not just for innocent people who are hurt, but we cry because people hurt themselves. And I know that when I see evil, it makes me angry. But this notion of becoming angry has to be coupled with a yellow caution light. In Proverbs 12 at verse 16, in the English Standard Version, it says, losing your temper is foolish. Losing your temper, that's angry. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 26, don't get so angry that you sin. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil a chance. Anger can be Satan's way of getting into our hearts. We run away from evil, but you know, our response to the evil that we're running away from, if it becomes angry to the point that we sin, we let Satan back in. If you're a thief, he says, quit stealing. That's pretty blunt. That's my mother's way of putting it. Run away from it. Be honest, work hard so you'll have something to give to people in need. Stop all your dirty talk. Say the right thing at the right time and help others by what you say. Don't make God's spirit sad. The spirit makes you sure that someday you'll be free from your sins. Stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. Don't yell at one another and curse one another or even be rude. I know I get angry when I see sin. But there's a big caution flag attached to it. And beyond angry, there's the idea of taking vengeance. Angry is a feeling. Wrath is the expression. And you know, I'm convinced wrath is not for me. Wrath is just not for men. Anger has a caution light. Wrath always has a red stop sign. Look at Romans, the 12th chapter. Don't mistreat someone who's mistreated you. Try to earn the respect of others. Do your best to live at peace with everyone. Dear friends, don't try to get even. Let God take revenge. In the scriptures, the Lord says, I'm the one to take revenge and to pay them back. The scriptures also say, if your enemies are hungry, give them something to eat. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. This would be the same as piling burning coals on their heads. I'm angry. Yellow caution light. Don't let that emotion run away with you. And don't go to the place of executing vengeance. Don't ever go to the place of executing wrath. That's for God. That's not for us. I know God does it. I know God executes vengeance on the evildoer. That's not an excuse for me to try to stand in God's place and take over his prerogative. I tell you, this has been a hard discussion for me. I really want to go be in God's place. And I can't. I can't. I wish I could say that we're not going to see evil. I wish I could say that it doesn't exist. My kids would come home and say, they'd tell us about what they had observed at school. And you tell them, don't have anything to do with that. But Mom, it still happens. That's the hard part about this. I try to live for God, and the evil is still there. How do I respond? Well, fortunately, we can be like David in Psalms 46. Run to God. And you know, sometimes I need to do that. I just need to run to God. I need to ask him to be my protector. I need to ask him to be my strength, to be my shield. I can put God on in baptism. I can stand and say, God, I'm on your side. Protect me. And he will. But you have to mean it. You can't do this half-heartedly. You can put Jesus on in baptism. He'll be yours. You can be on his side. You have to repent of your sins. You have to confess his name. And then after you're baptized, you have to continue living for him every day. And I know it's hard. But you have to work. We're going to stand in just a minute and we're going to sing a song. This song reminds me of a statement in John, the first chapter. The light came into the world and the world comprehended it not. That's the way the King James says it. The light came into the world. And a better translation is, the world couldn't put it out. There is evil, but it cannot destroy the fact that Jesus came here and he still lives.